Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome to 2019, a new year full of goals, resolutions, and hopes for continuous benefit from the running that we all love. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top podcast. 2018 has drawn to a close and 2019 is upon us. This is a great time to appreciate all that was good about the year behind us and to look ahead with hope and some goals too. On today's podcast at Run to the Top, we will be sharing some 2018 success stories from three of our own team members at Runners Connect, some well wishes and news for the future from founder Jeff Baguette, and a personal running perspective from the man behind the editing on both our weekly and daily podcast, Jeremy Nessel. All of us are runners and will share snippets of our own running resolutions for 2019. Our three Runners Connect members will also share their running success stories from 2018 and what they had to overcome to create that success. From a mile to a marathon, from injured to injury-free, listen in as we share several brief interviews for you as you consider your own hopes and goals for this new year. Jeremy Nessel is the podcast editing wizard for both the weekly Run to the Top and daily Extra Kick. Jeremy, I want to thank you profusely for all your help, patience, and expertise in working with me. You have been fun and professional to work with, and both are great qualities and much appreciated from your coworker. Thank you, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that.
Well, I really appreciate it. You've been such a help to me and a friend. So Jeremy was featured in one of our interviews about a year ago called From the Sidelines to the Starting Line, and it's a good listen. So if you haven't heard it, check it out. It's about how he manages all the aspects of his life and after a few decades without running, added it to the mix. Let's hear briefly what's been happening with Jeremy over this last year as it relates to his favorite podcast episodes edited in 2018 and what he has accomplished in his own running, as well as where he hopes to go with running in 2019. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me. And 2018's been a really great year working together and happy to be back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. So, Jeremy, how old are you now? Where were you born? And where are you living now?
So I am 44 years old. I was born in a very small coastal town in Maine up near Bar Harbor. And right now I'm living in Richmond, Rhode Island, in the deep south of Rhode Island.
And let's move right into editing of 2018 Run to the Top podcast. What were some of the highlights of your year as editor with Run to the Top, and share highlights, fun stories, any of that kind of stuff from 2018?
Sure. So, we had a change in hosts, and it's been great working with you. And some of the cool parts for me from a technical standpoint where you spent a lot of time down in Mexico, and we spent some time kind of figuring out how that was all going to work with the difference in infrastructure and software. So that was challenging, and the kind of problem solving that I like as an engineer.
Oh, good. Well, good. You're such an optimist, Jeremy. Okay, so we've worked out a lot of those issues. Although in Mexico, it's always a bit of a crapshoot. What's going to happen with the next episode? And I find that both fun, because it's like an adventure with every episode, but it also is, of course, always a bit stressful. I'm sure you feel that way too. You're wondering what you're going to get at your end of the of the project.
It's been pretty consistent though. There's some times where there's some dropout on someone's end, but you know, that's easy enough for me to stitch together. And you do a really great job of, if a guest misses a question, you'll go back and, you know, restate the question. And that usually gives me a good edit point to get stuff stitched back together. So it's, you know, whenever I'm editing podcasting, my philosophy is clarity, balance, and listenability, and just trying to make the audio so that there's no issues that are distracting for the listener, so that they can really focus on the content and not be worried about, why is this so hard to hear? Why is it so hard to listen to?
Nice.
That's something I notice with a lot of podcasts, that, you know, the audio isn't always balanced between the host and the guest. Someone's possibly a lot louder than someone else. And especially people are listening to these podcasts probably when they're running and they don't.
Totally.
Yeah. You don't want to be adjusting the volume.
Right. Right. So talk about some of your favorite episodes from this year. What were some of the ones that stuck with you specifically?
Yeah, I was going back through, and the ones that really jumped out to me the most, for whatever reason, were a lot of the trail running or the ultra distance running.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Alan Curano,
with
the fastest known time, and the John Muir Trail. It boggles my mind that people can do these vast distances, multi-day distances even. And so Alan Curano was one of those. James Varner with the Trail Running Film Fest.
Oh,
I wish
right.
I'd been able to catch that. I think they were up in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Holly Zimmerman and you know, all of the crazy, insane places that she's been to and
totally
done. Alex Hutchinson is always a great guest, and I always keep him in mind when I'm running, even though I'm not doing any of these crazy distances. But just knowing, you know, there's always more in the tank than we think there is.
Yeah, well, and these endurance athletes have really set the bar so high, but also given us more options. It's not for everybody, but boy, those people who are interested in it, now there's a lot of groups out there to help support that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what goals have you set for yourself, Jeremy, for 2019?
So I've registered for the Providence Half Marathon on May 5th, which is exciting and frightening at the same time.
Is this your first half? It's your first half?
Yep. That'll be my first half.
Oh my gosh. That is exciting.
Yep. And I haven't run in over a month. Mm-hmm. I'm going to head out. I'm actually suited up to go out right after this.
Oh, all right.
Myself. to see how low the baseline has reached.
Well, you're probably not alone in that. I was just talking to Jeff Godet, though, and he was saying that, you know, it's important that we don't let ourselves get too low, because then we can get injured and get discouraged and all of that. So yeah. I'm glad you're going out, Jeremy.
Yeah, and it's going to be easy. It's just going to be a a threshold test. And I say that now. I'll get out there. I'll probably feel great and still run for too long.
Say, keep yourself uninjured. You've got lot going on. You know, you have a full-time job, as well as, I know, you spend a lot of time on this editing and then training for a half marathon and married and all, you know, all the stuff that goes on in your life. I know you're a busy guy, and you've always been so pleasant to work with. It's just amazing to me that you can be so nice with all of the different things that you have to try and get done in a day and in a week and with the different jobs you have. So thank you so much for all of that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I don't know how I get it all done, but somehow it happens.
I don't know how you get it all done either, because you're not even that young, Jeremy. If you were 19, I would say, oh well, you know, he's just running on adrenaline or something, but you're old enough that you even have some, you know, probably need some rest in there once in a while.
Yeah, here and there.
Now, any other things that you want to share with our listeners at the beginning of this new year?
You know, I think the new year, we set a lot of goals, and that's great, because those are the things that give us direction. I think it's very easy to get into trouble when you overemphasize the goals and sort of do or die by them. And I know for a lot of people, it's they get really passionate and really committed, especially about doing a certain distance in a certain time. And there are so many variables that play into that actually happening.
Totally.
Variables that are out of our control. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to have multiple goals. I like the idea of having an A goal, a B goal, and a C goal. And that way you can still win, even if the stars don't align perfectly and you don't get your A goal. So for me, I would be happy finishing the Providence Half Marathon in May on my feet, uninjured. Mm-hmm. I don't have a time goal for that.
Good.
Because I don't even know. Well, I say that and then I'm like, I would like to do it, in like 2 hours and 15 minutes. And that's mostly just because I can't get my head around actually running for more than 2 hours and 15 minutes. I would kind of rather not do it. I think that's my psychological threshold for duration. But beyond that, it's just finish healthy.
I like that. And having just listened to your interview from last year, you brought up with the running at that point in your life to have fun and start slow. And I thought, those are really good goals. They're good goals kind of in life, and they're also good goals for this upcoming half marathon that you're planning.
Yep. Yeah. Start slow, have fun, don't get hurt. That's what I tell myself.
I think those are great goals for 2019. Anything else you want to add? We're just about at the end of our time here.
No, I want to thank you, Stephanie. It's been great working with you, and I enjoy it. You bring on some great guests. You have some great conversations, and I hope everyone has a happy and healthy year of running, whatever your goals happen to be.
Agreed. Well, Happy New Year to you, Jeremy, and I'm sure we'll be in touch shortly.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stephanie. You too.
Jeremy Nissel, as editor of this podcast, has made it possible to put together interviews from runners all around the world. Thanks again, Jeremy. Our first success story comes from Ethiopian-born Tenzai Asfaw, who now lives and trains in Switzerland. Tenzai improved dramatically in 2018 in his 10K and marathon. Let's hear the details from Tenzai directly. Born in Ethiopia, Tenzai Asfaw started his competitive running in boarding school in New Jersey when he was 15 years old. He went on to finish as state champion in cross country and the mile for New Jersey prep schools and all state honors. After that, he ran at Princeton University, where he was a multiple time Ivy League champion and captain of the Princeton track team. Tenzai has been with Runners Connect for a bit more than a year and has enjoyed remarkable success, dropping 2 minutes off of his 10K and 8K times and 45 minutes off his marathon time with a 2:38 in New York City in 2018. Welcome, Tenzai. You've had an impressive year.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. It's been a whole lot of fun being back in the sport.
Good, good. So let's start with our basics to know a bit more about you before we hear the rest of your story. How old are you now?
I am 39 years old.
Tell us more specifically in Ethiopia. Where were you born?
I was born in Gonder. It's in the northwest of Ethiopia.
Okay.
Little town with castles.
Wow. Wow. And where are you living now?
I live in Switzerland, halfway between Geneva and Lausanne, in a small town called Nyon.
Nice. And what kind of work are you doing?
I work with the United Nations. So I've been working with them for a dozen years. And right now I mostly raise money for relief work around the world.
Wow. Interesting work. So let's move into running. And please let me know, what was your running hope or your goal for 2018?
To be fair, I was mostly aiming for improvement, but I'm on a broader plan to be faster in my 40s than I was in my 20s. So I'm still racing the younger me. And this year was one step in that process. So it was really, really helpful to make some big strides. And I think more or less on pace to do better than my 20s and every distance above 10K sometime around 2019, 2020.
Nice. Yeah, it's interesting how both the maturity and maybe the some of the coaching makes a difference in being able to see your full potential.
I have to agree with you. I think my high school teachers used to tell me that youth is wasted on the young. So I can see what they were saying now. 20 years later, I'm like, ah, yes.
Indeed. So remind us again of those amazing times that you achieved in 2018. Pretty impressive.
So this year I ran 15:43 for 5K on the track, a race that Joe Bork, actually another Runners Connect colleague, that told me about.
Nice.
Then for 10K, I came down from 34:13 to 32:18. Wow. So a solid 2 minutes. I ran 1:13 for the half marathon.
Wow.
I ran 27:37 for 8K. So again, exactly 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 seconds better than a year ago on my hometown course, which was super, super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the marathon in New York, we had a lot of help and some excellent coaching, some great support from More Runners Connect colleagues. Stefan Lang has been a real great auxiliary coach for me on that one too. And I ran 2:38 in New York.
Wow, that is so impressive. Well, congratulations again. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of work and a lot of time that goes into making those things happen.
Thanks a lot. I've been amazed at the warmth and friendliness of people in sharing their time and their experience, their keen interest to see others do well and succeed in the sport. And I think this Little Runners Connect community has been amazing, and the community around me as well, where I live in Switzerland. Nice. I have a lot of extremely experienced colleagues and friends who've just been so generous with their time and their support.
Good community of people. So what did you actually have to overcome, and what changed for you this year to get to where you, the amazing things you accomplished?
I think more than the overcoming, I'd say it's the positives that I would count, that the strong friendships and the training buddies, I really felt supported by my growing local running community. Mm. I've had a friend who took a lot of time to run with me on weekends, others who'd hop on a bike to help me get through those long training runs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did quite a few team events, several triathlon relays and track meets and things. And I think that really, really helped my motivation level to kind of get out there and work harder than I've ever done over the weekends on a regular basis.
Because of the team, or what was the...
Exactly. For me, being on a relay or feeling like other people are counting on you in some way, that external motivation is super, super helpful. That while I'm happy to get up and put on my shoes alone in the winter, just having that extra sense of community and doing it for others, something larger than yourself to work for is a huge, huge help. So
interesting.
That's been great.
Yeah. Well, good. And now I'm moving forward, because we are going into 2019. By the time this gets actually aired, it will be 2019. What are your plans for next year?
Yeah, I think, still going to work on that half marathon 10K. I do care a lot about my performance in those distances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I can do my goal half marathon because of work, but right now it's Strong Milano. Then over the summer, some trail racing. Each year I've tried to do one or two trail races. I may do my first ultra distance in trail running. So last year I did 35K with 2,600 meters. This year I think I'll go to 51K with 3,000 meters or so of altitude.
Wow, you've got some amazing trail runs in Switzerland.
It's true. There's a lot to pick from. We are spoiled for choice out here. And then I've gotten into Berlin. So I think with Stefan Lang and high school buddy Poe and a few other friends from here, I think we might all do the Berlin Marathon, which
wow.
should be really, really exciting.
How fun. So tell me about your training week. What kinds of things are you doing in a week when you're training for a marathon, for example?
It's usually, you know, a long tempo on Tuesdays. An average Tuesday is sort of like somewhere between 8 and 12K of just kind of tempo. And then an average Thursday would be something a little bit more broken up. So maybe some kind of interval. We have a lot of those weekends that are back-to-back workouts. So mm-hmm. we have a big workout, like a 4x2K on a Tuesday, but then 16K tempo on a Saturday, and then some kind of mixed up long run, like 30K-ish with 20K of effort. So marathon pace throughout the middle or a fast finish or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're off to a good start for 2019. And what about staying uninjured? What do you do for that part?
I have to say that's what drove me to Runners Connect October a year ago, mm-hmm. was that I was injured, but I've never been injured since. So if I can give one tremendous shout out for all of the coaching and advice, it's how proactive they are with the smallest signs of injury, how well the program is designed to kind of maximize recovery and avoid injury. So I've really, knock on wood, been extremely healthy since I joined this program. And it's one of the reasons I recommend it so highly to all my friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. So let's go local. What is your favorite local training run that if some of us happen to show up in your neighborhood, that beautiful area, what would you recommend?
There's a lot to do in the area. So I personally really like running towards the woods. Mm-hmm. So if you're in my neck of the woods, there's a place called Trelle. So there's a Parkour Vita, sort of like this maintained small trails, Parkour Vita Trelle. That area is really, really nice.
Could you describe that? Spell the name of the...
Yeah, so Trelle is T-R-E-L-E-X. Uh-huh. And so if you go to Parkour Vita, V-I-T-A, Trelle, you'll easily find that on a map. There's parking on either side of the road, right at the edge of that space. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a big wooden loop. I have a soft trail loop, wood chips and dirt, and little places where you can stop to do exercise if you want to. It's a couple kilometers around. Nice. As many loops as you want there. It's really nice. It's easy enough to do with kids. A lot of people do that with their children.
All right.
And if you're feeling more ambitious, literally just across the street from it is a trail that goes straight up the mountain towards Saint-Serg. And again, you can hike that, you can run that. For us, when we're doing the training for our trail running, you could get up and back in between 1 and 2 hours and do, 15, 20K.
Nice.
In the mountains there with a tremendous view across the whole valley at the top. So with a great reward.
We got to get to Switzerland first, though, right?
Unfortunately, that is part of the deal.
Okay, we are actually out of time here, but is there a message that you would like to share with our listeners before you and I say goodbye?
Stay healthy, enjoy the process, and enjoy the friendships that so frequently grow out of this running and sports in general.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, Tensai. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you in 2019, and keep us posted on your progress. We love it when you post on Facebook. That's great.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. It's been really a pleasure having you guys as coaches.
Tensai had a pretty impressive year in 2018, and we all wish him great success in his 2019 goals, including the Berlin Marathon. Another success story comes from Scott Barella from Texas, who added strength training in 2017 and saw an amazing improvement in his 2018 races in the 5K, 10K, and half marathon distances. With a marathon planned for 2019, Scott talks about his athletic background and how he has applied competitive swimming and strength training to becoming a better, faster runner. Here is the interview with Scott. Scott Barella joined Runners Connect in May 2017. He started with the Strength Training for Runners program to help rehabilitate his self-professed stupidity-induced Achilles tendonitis, which was the first injury he'd had in his life. He quickly transitioned to a running schedule with strength training since the tendonitis was relatively mild. Since then, he's completed 5K, 10K, and half marathon plans with Runners Connect, all with strength training, and is looking forward to a spring marathon in May 2018. I think I put the wrong date, or 2019, I'm guessing, or maybe we'll clarify that in our talk. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, thanks to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here. Let's get that marathon thing clarified right away. Is it May 2019, or have you already run a marathon?
I'm targeting May 2019.
Okay, well, welcome, and let's start off with just a couple of basic questions before we go into your success story. How old are you now? Where were you born? Where are you living now? And what kind of work do you do?
I'm 38. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I live in Houston, Texas, and I work for a software company.
All right. Boy, you are really organized and punctual about that. So let's go into the running part. What was your running hope or goal for 2018? And then, of course, how did you do on making that happen?
Sure. My primary goal for 2018 was to focus on the half marathon race distance, and I ran two of them in April and in December. In between the two plans, I did 10K training. For the second half marathon plan, my primary goal was to complete the plan without having to take any time off because of an unforeseen niggle. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Coach Dillon wrote a great plan and everything worked out.
And what was your time?
I ran 1:28:19.
Good for you. And what was your goal for that? Your goal time?
About 4 weeks out, I thought I had a good chance to run around 1:30. And I asked one of the coaches what they thought I could go. And they mentioned a time that was about 2 minutes slower. And I just said, I think I can do that. But it ended up working out a little bit better than we all thought.
And what half marathon was that?
Jacksonville in Florida.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. What was your, what was your training strategy during the race itself?
During the race, I had what I wanted to split for the 5K and then the next 10K after that. And then what I wanted to run the last 5 or 6K. So I just programmed that into the watch. But the course has a slight downhill after 5K.
Okay.
And then the last mile or so is a little bit uphill. And the weather conditions were about 60 degrees Fahrenheit and nearly 100% humidity, which compared to Houston is a green light for me. Oh. So it ended up working out pretty well. And I had somebody that I ran most of the last 15K with. And so we just kind of went back and forth and we were always within about 20 or 30 feet. But then she ended up pulling away in the last mile.
So. And did you get to stay on your you know, your strategy, on your plan, or did it change as you were running the half, or what?
It basically stayed the same. I had programmed a time for 1:29 flat, and I knew that if I was a little bit slower, I would still be under 1:30, but I ended up running faster than expected.
Yeah, that's a really nice feeling. When did you realize that you were going to have a good race?
At 14K, because I'd negative split the first two 7Ks of the race. And then when I was at 20K, I knew that I had this crushed because the second 10K was almost 90 seconds faster than the first 10K.
That is such a great feeling, isn't it?
It is. It's great. Yeah.
So how has the strength training made a difference for you? And can you describe how much and what you do in a training week with your strength training?
Absolutely. So I started doing structured strength training for swimming at age 14. And in my 20s and through my 30s, I maintained decent strength doing calisthenics. But I didn't start doing running specific strength training until I joined Runners Connect. So depending on the plan and where I am in my schedule, I do 5 or 6 strength workouts per week, unless it's a recovery week, and then I don't do any strength training. Most of that is body weight or with stretch cords or TheraBands. Sometimes I'll do a gym routine whenever that's prescribed.
Talk about what that looks like time-wise, what you actually are doing for some of those. That would be useful for us to hear.
It's a lot of hip strength routines, so that are based on the Myrtle routine. We have a different name for that in Runners Connect, but it's a lot of hip strengthening work. It's a lot of posterior chain work. It's a lot of lower leg and Achilles work. Some of the TheraBand is for hamstring pawbacks or abductor adductors and stretch cords and things like that.
So that's, you think that's made a big difference for your success?
Absolutely. Because when you do this running specific strength training, it helps to recalibrate the muscular tension, in your hips, in your core, in your legs. And so muscles that are tight loosen up and ones that are loose tighten up. And then the problem is that it takes a little bit time for your body and your gait to adjust to that. But once you get that down, then you can really take off.
And that's what's happened for you over this period of time. You actually started in 2017, right? And now we're talking about 2018 successes.
Right. But when I started, I had some Achilles tendonitis. So I was doing the strength training then, but I had to let the Achilles tendon heal. And then I had to kind of recalibrate after that as well, because I think my body was using its muscles a little bit differently because I couldn't use my lower leg as I was supposed to.
And having the patience to let that transition occur and also not overtrain, which sounds like that might have been a problem for you in the in your earlier days?
Yeah, I don't know that I was always patient. I mean, to be fair, I mean, by the time I posted and logged my workouts, I was like over whatever stress and anger that I had. But at the same time, I also just kind of realized that, you know, I did this and this is like my sentence that I have to deal with and I have to serve my time. And then I knew that because the workouts were very similar to swimming, that I was going to respond very well. So it was just a matter of getting healthy, but you never achieve that in the time frame that you want. It always takes longer.
Well, yeah, that's true. It always takes longer. Now, you mentioned swimming. You've been a competitive swimmer. How much do you think having swimming at that level has helped you become a better runner?
It's absolutely critical. For me personally, the workouts are structured very similarly in that they always target a very specific physiological state. Mm-hmm. And that changes over the course of the season.
Right.
And it's the same thing with running. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, like I have very good sensory awareness in the water. I know exactly how I'm moving above and on and below the surface of the water. And I can make technique changes very, very quickly and have them persist. And once I learned how to do that for running, you know, if I found myself getting too upright, you know, I could lean forward just 1 degree and then all of a sudden my cadence would just shoot up.
Right.
Because my feet are landing closer to, you know, my center.
Right.
And so on and so forth. And so if you were a gymnast, I think you would have the same kind of awareness because you would know if you're just 1 degree off, you know, your handstand's going to fall over or something like that.
Well, having been involved in competition at a fairly high level too, I'm sure that that really gives people a lot of advantage in understanding some of the strategies and, as you said, some of the physiology. But also it is probably a relief to be running in a sport that gives you so much leeway in the expectation of what you're going to accomplish.
Oh, sure. I mean, with swimming, there's age group time standards and national time standards and so on. And running is very similar. I mean, there's no hiding where you're at. You know, you can't fake it when you're out there, especially for the distance races. So you just kind of learn to do the best that you can and learn to take the next step in your development.
Now, what did you feel you had to overcome and what changed for you this past year to get you to what you did accomplish?
Sure thing. When I first joined, my body wouldn't let me do the structured running training because I needed to let the Achilles heal. Mm-hmm. And then as I continued over the next year, I found that every 7 to 9 weeks, something would pop up and hold me back. You know, finally, in the last 4 months, we figured out a plan to manage the fatigue and still do the quality running necessary to run a good half marathon. And so I was able to be very consistent and stay healthy and see the effort pay off.
Nice. And then that of course is its own reward. It just, you know, it helps you want to keep going.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, how about 2019? What are some plans for 2019? Besides your marathon, and actually tell us a bit about your marathon.
Right. The Mountains to Beach Marathon finishes in Ventura, California, right on the beach. And it's the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, which is also a couple of days before my birthday. Mm-hmm. After that, I'm just going to recover for most of June and then start up near the end or after the 4th of July and maybe do a 5K or 10K race in the fall or maybe another spring marathon in 2020.
Mm-hmm. So one marathon at the beginning of the year is the big goal. And then the rest of it is more kind of letting things happen.
Right. We'll have to see how that marathon goes. But I'm definitely going to recover properly for sure.
Well, good for you. We actually are pretty much out of time here. One final message that you might like to share with the listeners today about your successes, about running in general, any of that for the 2019 year?
I think just take one step at a time and take whatever is the next step in your development. And realize that the consistency is what is going to allow you to perform as best as you possibly can.
Scott, you've really accomplished a lot this year. And it sounds to me like you've listened to your body as well as listened to people who know what they're talking about. And then you have that ability within you that you've developed. So congratulations on 2018. Good luck in 2019 and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Same to you. And thanks for having me on the show.
As Scott Borella starts ramping up for a 2019 marathon in Texas, we join our third success story from Paraguay. Rodrigo Jara more or less started his running career almost from scratch in 2017 and never looked back. His speed and understanding of how to train smart has created a winner where before he had no idea that he could run fast enough to place first overall sometimes and first often in his age group. Rodrigo talks about the importance of community, coaching, and having fun with running. Let's hear now from Rodrigo Jara. Born in Paraguay and working full-time as a software engineer, Rodrigo Jara was a weekend warrior since his 20s and had no idea of what proper training was, had never won anything or considered that it was even possible. 2 years ago, he started training with Runners Connect, and it changed his whole perspective about running. He learned a lot, embraced the easy run concept, and started to really love running. In 2018, he had an excellent year, achieved all his goals, and even won his first race. He also placed first 8 times in his age group. Rodrigo attributes his success to smart training and staying injury-free for the entire year. He believes running is the best way to relieve the stress and anxiety of modern living and helps with creating a healthier and happier life in general. He thinks the community is important in order to learn from each other's experiences and to give and receive support. Welcome, Rodrigo Jara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Welcome. I'm so glad you're here with us today and congratulations on what you have accomplished this year.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here too.
Me too. Well, let's start off with a couple of basic questions. How old are you now? Where were you born? And where are you living now in Paraguay?
I'm 20 years old. I was born in Asunción, the capital of Paraguay. It's a small country in the heart of South America. Mm-hmm. And currently living in Luque. It's a beautiful city. It's near the capital.
I've heard wonderful things about it. And one of these years I'm going to get there. I've never gotten farther south than Mexico. How far mm-hmm. south of Mexico are you?
I don't know if you know where is located Argentina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're way down there.
Yeah.
Okay, well then let's move into the running questions because I've got some important things to learn from you for your 2018 success. And they are, what were your running hopes or goals for 2018?
Well, last year I trained for a half marathon and had a good result, but I struggled with injury. But overall, it was a great year. But this year, I decided to train for shorter races, 5K and 10K mostly, because I knew I could lower my 5K PB and had the chance to do podiums here. And in my country, we used to run almost every weekend 5K and 10K.
Uh-huh. And what did you actually accomplish? What kinds of times did you accomplish in your 5K and 10K in 2018?
My main goal was to lower, run sub 18, and I ran 17:39. Wow. And 10K, I ran 36:57. Ooh. And then I ran the half marathon, but without training properly for a half marathon, I ran 1 hour, 23 minutes, 33 seconds.
Oh, you are fast. Now, I know you started off being injured and also heard that you hadn't really improved in a while. So what have you learned in this last 2 years that has helped you be a better runner and start winning even?
Okay, basically everything. I knew nothing about proper training. Mm-hmm. But what has helped me the most was the adoption of the easy run.
Uh-huh.
To go really easy and truly enjoy running. And then being able to go hard and embrace pain on workout days.
I see. Mm-hmm. So really being able to take some breaks and enjoy running mentally, and then truly apply yourself to the specific task on those days that were hard runs.
Yeah, it's a simple rule, but it was hard to me to understand that first, that going easy will actually help me be faster.
Isn't that interesting? I think that's true for a lot of people, because the motivational part, as well as giving your body a chance to recover, is huge.
Yeah, and you enjoy more, you love more running in that way.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Okay, so what kind of goals and plans do you have for 2019?
Well, I think it's time to start marathon training, finally. Mm-hmm. After 2 years of training almost every day.
Right.
It's been 2 years of consistent training, really. And I feel ready to start. I'm ready to start running more mileage now.
And do you have a marathon in mind?
I was thinking of running one outside Paraguay, because here the weather is very warm, and it's a really hard marathon. It is run only once here. We have only one marathon, that is the Marathon Internacional de Asunción, mm-hmm. and it's really hard. People from Kenya has come, and they throw some really slow times.
Oh, interesting. What month is that marathon in?
In August.
Oh my gosh, it must be.
But I was planning to run some other place like Buenos Aires, or going to Europe.
I see. Well, that does make sense. You know, I know people who are serious about getting good times are very calculated about what month, what course, and, you know, and starting their training at a time when they're just peaking at the time that they run that marathon. So good luck to you. And when are you going to make a final decision on what that marathon might be?
Maybe in the first months, I think March, May, I will be running a half marathon, and then mm-hmm. I'm planning to sign for a marathon outside Paraguay.
Oh, okay. So something in the fall then, probably.
Yeah. September, October.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then good luck on your plans for 2019. And I don't know how many of our listeners are going to get to your country to do a local training run, but I'm sure it must be beautiful there. And do you have a favorite training run that you could recommend to us?
Yeah, my favorite is definitely Nyuwasu Park in Luque.
Uh-huh.
It's near the only airport we have here. So easy to find.
Tell us what the airport is, and also spell the name of your town and the place where they would start their run. Spell those for us, if you don't mind.
Okay, the airport is called Silvio Petirossi, and Luque is spelled Luque.
Okay, good. And then where do you actually do your run?
And at the Nyuwasu Park. It's a 3 mile of 5K loop,
mm-hmm.
and it's a closed park, but it's really beautiful. It has a lake, it has a gravel path or a gravel asphalt.
Wow.
So you can do your workouts there, or you can run easy on the gravel.
Okay. And if you want to do more than one loop, is that the way that you would get in more distance?
Yeah, I usually do my long runs. It's a little bit boring to do four or five loops, but I usually do my longer there.
Yeah, I have a run like that too, where I've run 20 miles on it, and you actually have to keep track of how many loops you've done, because it does get a little boring.
yeah.
Even though it's,
but I listen to your podcast, and it's not that boring like
uh-huh.
that.
Uh-huh. Okay, another question here. Recommended reading or listening for 2019. Do you have a favorite book or audiobook that you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, I just finished Alex Hutchinson's latest book.
Oh, right.
It's called Endure.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a great book. And I believe that mental side of running is key if you want to have success.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And that's big in 2000, in this type, in this part of our running, you know, we're moving into more of the brain training and the mental power to be able to endure.
Yeah, it's so important.
Yeah. Well, thanks for recommending that. And what about a message to share with our listeners all the way from Paraguay?
Okay. I think you have to be persistent in what you want to achieve. And don't worry if you miss a workout or you can hit a time during your workout. You have to keep doing it. And eventually it will come. Your goal will be achieved.
And you have worked very hard, and I know that it took a while for you to see success. So you are an example of sticking with it and being able to overcome some of that. I don't know if it's inertia or if it's the mental part, but you have really had some wonderful success in 2018, and sounds like it's coming in 2019 as well. Wishing you a wonderful 2019. Thank you so much, Rodrigo Jara.
Thank you so much to you, and kudos to all the coaches of Runners Connect, especially Dylan Vélez, and kudos for him for completing the California International Marathon.
What fun and inspiration to hear these success stories from around the world. I hope you will let us know of your successes so that we can highlight them throughout the coming year. It's such great encouragement for all of us to know that our hard work and plans really pay off. We can't say goodbye to 2018 or hello to 2019 without a word from Jeff Gaudette, founder of Runners Connect. Jeff mentions how his running world is now almost completely experienced through the company and implementing the best programs and plans for runners like you, me, Tenzai, Scott, Jeremy, and Rodrigo. Let's hear Jeff say farewell to 2018 and welcome 2019 for all of us runners. So let's hear a message from the founder of Runners Connect, Jeff Gaudette. Jeff has been great to work with this past year, and now we are headed into a new year with new hopes and dreams. Jeff, I'll turn the podium over to you to share your message with our podcast audience, including some of the highlights from 2018 and information on what's in store for 2019. Please be sure to include a brief recap of the highlights of 2018 at Runners Connect. Share some encouraging words and thoughts about setting goals that you have set for yourself personally and for Runners Connect as a company. Talk a bit about your thoughts on running as a lifelong activity and any other thing you want to share at the beginning of this new year. Welcome to 2019, Jeff.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Stephanie. I'm glad to be here.
Well, good. And now the podium is yours.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, 2018 was really an amazing year for Runners Connect. You know, we really measure success on how our athletes respond to the training and the goals that they're able to achieve. And so the fact that we were able to help so many runners this year really made a big difference for us in terms of what we saw in terms of, you know, people being successful. That was one of our big goals coming into 2018 and meeting as a team, really talking about, you know, how we wanted to improve and what we wanted to do. And so much of it was, you know, making sure that runners are achieving the goals that they set out. And so I think so many times with, you know, especially since we're all online, I think it's easy to fall into the trap of, well, this runner got their plan and we kind of just hope they're successful. And we put a lot of measures in place this year to make sure that we track the success of the runners that we have on our team to make sure that what they were doing was successful. So they didn't fall off the boat. So they, we did adjust their training when it was needed, that kind of thing. And just to give you an example of kind of how that played out, in the month of November, and this is because I remember it so recently, we had 88 athletes PR from every distance from 5K to the ultra marathon.
Wow.
So that was, I think, our biggest month ever in terms of just straight up personal best. Mm-hmm. So that was when we, you know, each week we got the tally of, you know, from everybody that raced and who set a personal best and who ran well and everything. And just seeing those numbers pour in, it was, I think the highest week was 26. And then most of the other weeks were 20 in November of people racing that weekend who had run a personal best. And so for us, that was really a fantastic way to kind of close out the year. We haven't finished up December yet, but we're really excited about what that means for us moving forward.
Personal best is such a great goal too, because then you're only measuring yourself against your own efforts. And I know I've heard so much good stuff already this morning about the coaches at Runners Connect and working with each individual to be able to reach their true goal and not something that's unrealistic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big part of what we try to convey with athletes that first start with us and first get on the team. Mm-hmm. Is really assessing, you know, what their goal should be, or, you know, kind of trying to talk with them about what makes sense. Because we get a lot of emails and a lot of questions of, you know, like the big one is always, you know, I want to qualify for Boston or something like that. And mm-hmm. Sometimes athletes, in order to do that, need to make really big jumps in their training. So maybe they need to run 320 and they're currently at 345.
Right.
And, you know, we try to work with athletes to say, you know, well, let's not try to run 320 in the spring. You know, let's look at what makes sense for the spring for you to make progress, and how can we make sure that every training session or every training cycle, we're making progress. And so that's definitely a big part of what we do is help athletes manage those expectations and set realistic goals, so that way they can continually be improving as long as they're with us.
Yeah, well, I think you must be on the right track, because I've certainly heard good news this morning. Now, how about sharing some encouraging words and thoughts about setting your own goals? What have you, you know, personally for 2019 and for Runners Connect as a company?
Yeah, no, personally, a lot of my goals revolve around the company, because it's a big part of my life. It's what I do, you know, for work, obviously, but I think about Runners Connect 24/7. When I'm running, when I'm in the gym, when I'm at home. And so for me, so many of my personal goals are intertwined with Runners Connect.
Totally.
And for us, it's really about, again, I think taking that next step when it mm-hmm. comes to helping athletes stay accountable. That's a big thing that we're working on in 2019 is, you know, just helping athletes stay accountable and really get through. What we've noticed with athletes is there's always going to be lulls in motivation and lulls in training. So everybody kind of gets excited come June and July with, you know, 12, 16 weeks to go until their big goal race. And then everybody kind of starts to fade. And what we've noticed is that there's a kind of a yo-yo effect with their fitness. They take a few weeks off, or, you know, I'm going to take a break from serious training. And then it's that's where progress can sometimes stall. And so a lot of what we're trying to do is help keep people accountable, help keep them motivated. Mm-hmm. Through those lulls or through those times when you don't have a goal race in 8, 10, 12 weeks. So that's a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's an important concept anyway. And this kind of leads into my next question, Jeff, because lifelong running, I know is something you believe in, and I do too. And, you know, that fits into a cycle as well. It sounds like you're really mm-hmm. addressing that. And in 2019, maybe that's a big part of what's going to be part of the agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's the overarching theme that I think we kind of have with everything that we try to do is, you know, we try to take out the, like the crash course type running, you know, where you don't do anything for a few months or a few weeks, and then you, okay, now I got to get in shape for my race and do what I can. And, you know, what we find is that leads to a lot of injuries, that leads to a lot of burnout. Mm. What we want to help athletes do is become runners for life. And, you know, there's a couple components to that, but obviously the big one from a physical perspective is staying healthy mm-hmm. and making sure that your body is able to train smartly and stay healthy. So that way you can run all, you know, throughout the rest of your life. And I think that's a big component, because I think there's a lot of myths out there about, oh, running hurt, you know, destroys your knees and all that kind of stuff. And if done right, if done smart, running doesn't have to be that way. Running is something you can do your entire life. And that's the physical aspect. But the mental aspect is allowing people to train in a way that makes them fall in love with running. So it's not, well, man, I got to go do 13 miles today and I'm just not ready for it. You know, that's the crash course type stuff, you know, where you have to increase so fast because you need to be ready for the race, but that makes it not fun.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to make it so that everybody is doing something that's fun. And that could be also switching up. So if you're somebody that does marathons all the time, you know, really helping athletes see the benefit of, hey, why don't we this summer, maybe we'll do some shorter races like 5Ks, 10Ks, that kind of stuff. And, and kind of showing runners the joy of just training in general, just being out there and running in general, not always having to have something specific in mind. So that's a big part of what we believe the lifelong running is all about.
Good advice for, I think so many of us who have been running for a long time want to be able to run for the rest of our lives. And so how do we do that both physically and mentally? And it seems like Runners Connect is addressing that. Good for you. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, we hope so.
Well, thank you. And I think you are. So anything else you want to share at the beginning of this new year with, theoretically, we are very motivated as of the beginning of, you know, the new year.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the big thing. I think all athletes should try to find the motivation and that's going to keep them going after the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know, so that way in February and March, it's not looking back and saying, oh, well, that was what I had as a mind and it didn't work out. You know, really have put yourself in a spot where your goals can adapt and also you'll be able to constantly stay motivated through them throughout the year. So set short-term goals, long-term goals, and put yourself on a path to success. Whether you're a Runners Connect member or not, it's really important that you have that plan for how you're going to execute to get your goals achieved, and then also what you're going to do if something doesn't go right. I mean, I think that's the thing that happens with goals for the most people. For most people, is that no matter who you are, even the most dedicated athlete in the world, even Olympians, there are things that are going to go wrong, whether they're in your control or out of your control. There are going to be things that are going to take you off your path towards your goal. And so you want to make sure that you have plans in place and have the motivation and accountability around you to get you back on track when the inevitable things kind of take you off that path. So don't feel like you're, my advice would be, don't feel like you're the only one that falls off their goal or that you're somehow less of an athlete, less of a runner, less of a success if you happen to fall off your path and towards your goal. You can get right back on. Everybody does it. And the ones that are able to achieve their goals are the ones that are able to get back on that path as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for working with me on the podcast at Run to the Top. It's been both fun and informative working with you. And I look forward to the new year and whatever surprises are in store. I'm wishing you, your company, as well as you individually, a very happy new year.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. And right back at you, we wish you the best. So, and everybody that's listening.
And finally, as one year comes to an end and another year begins, I want to thank all of you for listening to Run to the Top. I have been here almost a year now and have had such a great time hosting this podcast. I work directly with Jeff and Jeremy, and they have been great support for me. I couldn't ask for a better working team. For a moment, I'd like to focus on you and where you are with your running for this upcoming year of 2019. From my own personal voice, which is that of a runner of more than 5 decades, I wanted to share how over that time, my goals and expectations have changed dramatically. Not because I'm getting older, although that certainly is one factor, but because if any of us wants to run for a lifetime, running as part of our life needs to change. When I was in my 20s, running was very important, very, very important. And equally important was the mountaineering, backpacking, and technical rock climbing that led me to hike over 2,000 miles on the Pacific Crest Trail, hang from sheer rock walls in multi-day climbs, and take to the Himalayas for attempts on some of the highest peaks in the world. Running was a way to stay fit and a way to test my competitive nature. As an athlete exploring my potential in the physical world, it was also a time to take some extreme risk because I had no obligation to others. In my 30s, I took up competitive cross-country skiing and moved to the mountains around Lake Tahoe. My future husband and I hiked, skied, and climbed regularly in that local area. When the snow melted, I was running to stay fit and train at altitude. And in the middle of my 30s, I started a family. This dramatically changed my attitude about taking risks and limited my time to train. Work and family took priority, and the competitive nature of running became less important. My running expectations were not as competitive, definitely not as serious, but I loved my time out by myself running as a break from working full time and raising a family. In my 40s, there were four children to take care of, and my husband and I both worked full time in the adventure travel business we started together, taking trekkers to remote mountain destinations around the world. Running was, again, an opportunity to combine fitness, solo time outdoors, and the convenience of walking out my door and taking off for an hour or two on the trails around our house. Competition was very limited because of the logistics of coordinating races with a busy lifestyle, and our remote location of living meant that there was no time. This was okay. I was still running on a regular basis, but with no training goals other than peace of mind, regular contact with nature, and an absolute love for the gift of being able to run. As my 50s loomed on the horizon, I was once again free to consider running more competitively. The children were older, the business was more flexible, and the desire in me was strong to see where I could go as a 50-year-old athlete who knew a lot about running, both from studying it and from practicing it for many decades. My 50s and 60s brought about improved times in all the longer distances from 5K to marathons because, once again, I had time to apply myself to training in earnest. I could see that my renewed efforts in training combined with maturity, education, and strategies gave me an edge that made me competitive again. And I am sharing this with you because I want to support you and encourage you at all stages of your running. Whether you are putting 100% of your effort into running right now or have pulled back because you have other priorities that take precedence, I want to share that the longer you run, the more you will understand the love of running as a lifelong activity, and at the same time, accept that it has to evolve around all that your life is about. Savor this moment and appreciate the gift of running wherever you are with it. May you run with joy throughout your life and find happiness and contentedness wherever that happens to be with your running in 2019. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host for Run to the Top podcast. Join us at www.runnersconnect.net or subscribe directly through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of your favorite audio listening programs to listen to our podcast every week. Happy, happy New Year. May 2019 be a year full of fitness, fun, and of course, running.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.